there if you don't know how to be an individual.
And we want to get back to our discussion on race relations in the United States. Plus, Pastor R.C. Blakes Jr. joining us.
And as leaders on the local level, when we begin to combat the rhetoric with truth.
Pastor, thank you so much for joining me. It's such a horrific conversation that we even have to be having. What are you hearing from?
This is for male and female. This is not just for women tonight. This is for male and female. How do you know the right one? You know, because if you're like me, you've made a lot of mistakes in terms of trying to choose a person for your life. And sometimes, you know, you choose people before you really have a full understanding of who you are. And so you choose a person that is right for you at that time, not understanding that you are going to evolve and not being wise enough to discern that the person does not have the capacity to evolve with you. So those relationships tend to end. They tend to fall off, broken hearts, divorces, all of that other kind of stuff. And then at a certain point, you kind of mature, and then you really begin to learn what's important in a relationship. And what's important in a relationship is not, you know, the size of a woman's bust line or the height of a man or the size of his biceps or how big his bank account is. He ought to have one, but how big it is should not be number one on your list. How fine a woman is should not be number one on your list, because there are many of you on here tonight who've had handsome guys with money and you're currently single. Didn't work. There are many of you on here tonight, or at least some of you on here tonight, if we have any brothers in, that have had fine women and it didn't work. So how do you know the right one? You know, when Adam met Eve, when God presented Eve to Adam, Adam knew instantly. Now, I believe, you know, there's a lot of teaching to be done here. I believe the reason Adam knew instantly is because, now listen to this very carefully. This may change the game for you if you hear what I'm saying. I believe that Adam knew instantly because Eve was introduced to Adam when Adam was at his spiritual zenith. Adam was not observing. He was not merely looking at the external. Adam was discerning. And so when Adam met Eve, he said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is mine. This is woman." Because he was in the spirit. Now, would you agree with me that most of the time, and I believe that probably most of the people on here tonight are Christians, most, maybe not all, but most, would you agree with me that most of the time when we made relational choices, we were not in the spirit? We made relational choices based on physical attraction. We made relational choices based on what he or she can do for me. And we were not in the spirit. If we were discerning from, the starting line, we would have never made the errors we made in terms of relational choices. So there are many of you who are still making relational choices out of your flesh, out of your intellect. You can only make a real relational choice out of your spirit. If a person does not agree with your spirit, if there is no witness in your spirit, I don't care how fine they are, I don't care what kind of money they have, I don't care what kind of name they have, if it does not agree with your spirit, run, Forrest, run. So now I just wanted to get that out of the way because, you know, I want to deal with some practical stuff. And when you deal with practical stuff, people always want to come back and you know, remind you of the obvious spiritual principles that, you know, that we under, most of us understand at least. So a person has to have a common faith. Y'all can't be on two different pages spiritually. You got to be equally yoked, you know, all of these kinds of things. So that's out of the way. Now let's get down to some practical stuff. You know that you have met, you have potentially met the right one for you, male or female, when you find a person that respects you. Hey, honey, I'm proud of you. Oh, you talking to Casey. I'm thinking you're talking to me, girl. When you have met the one that respects you. Now, that's big on both sides. A woman should never have a man that disrespects and does not view her as an equal. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So the Bible tells the man, make certain that you honor and view this woman as an equal. But the respect thing has, it goes both ways. When a man meets a woman that has the slightest bit of disrespect in her personality, he should run immediately, because she will never be a woman that will submit to authority, biblical, whatever other kind you want to call it. She will never fall into the divine order of God. Respect, respect, respect. If a person disrespects you, what more do you have to talk about? When a person begins to disrespect you, something simple as, I'll be there to get you for 8, they show up at 9:30. That's disrespectful. The right one will have respect for you. The right one will have respect for you. The right man will respect you enough, listen to this, to listen to you. The right man will respect you enough to listen to you. The right man will respect you enough to hear you out and to implement your ideas when your ideas are best. And he's big enough to say, that's a better idea than the one I had. And he respects you enough to use your idea over his, not feeling that his manhood has been assaulted at all. The right woman is going to respect you enough to talk to you a certain kind of way. She's not going to call you boy and, you know, calling you out your name and all of this kind of stuff, clowning you in front of her friends and her family. You ain't supposed to go around the block with a woman like that. The Bible says, man, it's better to live on the roof than to be living up in a mansion with an old brawling woman. Yeah, that's right. Put some respect on it. And I ain't telling you no more. I ain't saying it no more. All three of y'all. Put some respect on it. That individual respects you. That individual respects you. See, the thing that makes me and Lisa work so well, I believe one of the things, she's on here, she can chime in if she desires to, is that we have mutual respect for one another. There's a certain way I'm going to talk to my wife. There's a certain way she's going to talk to me. We've never, ever, ever gotten out of line in terms of respecting one another. My wife always gives me the highest respect privately and publicly. And I give my wife the highest respect. If a relationship is not built on respect, you don't have no foundation. There's nothing to talk about. I don't care how much you think you're in love with a person. If a person is toying with you and playing with you, and if a person is not exercising the basic respect for you, there comes a point that you got to respect yourself. Number two, a man, or the right one rather, the right one, I initially started writing this lesson just to women, and I realized that this applies both ways. This is not just for women. The right one will make you feel like number one. Not number three, not number four, not number two. The right one will make you feel like number one. The right woman will make you feel like you're the only man on the planet. The right man will make you feel like you are the only woman walking. The right man will make you feel like you are the most beautiful woman in the world. Now, granted, you know, when you take care of yourself properly, not when you're walking around with curlers in your head at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but you know, you take care of yourself. The right man will make you feel like you are the most gorgeous woman in the world. There's no woman on the planet that's more beautiful than you. They will make you feel like you are number one. You are priority. I love my people. I love my mom and my dad and my siblings and my friends, but nobody comes before you. You should never marry a person that does not make you number one. You're not even supposed to have an extended courting. That's an old fogey term. Dating situation with a person that does not exemplify the capacity to make you number one. When you discern in a person's life that they have this person and that person and that person and that person that come ahead of you, you know you are then to exit stage left or right, whichever way you can get out of there. Get out of there. Because the right one, the one that you should walk down an aisle and say yes to, is the one that will make you the priority. Wow. Look what the Bible says here. In Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. I don't believe in dating courtship only this way. That's you know, hey, I feel you. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, meaning the two of them become each other's priority. What about his work, saying he is busy all the time? Well, now that depends. That depends. Depends on what kind of bills y'all have. You know what I mean? Depends on what it takes to run that household. You got to factor all that in. I think when people are courting, if that's the term some of y'all would prefer to use, and a couple in our church use the term dating, you know, to marry or towards marriage. You need to discuss what is our lifestyle going to be like, because if you desire to have a 7,000 square foot house and three Mercedes Benz, the children going to have to go to work. Everybody got to work, you know, so that depends. Sometimes a man is not just being selfish. Sometimes he's just trying to do what comes naturally, and that is provide. And sometimes we don't know when to stop. It doesn't mean that we don't love. It's just that as men, we show our love by providing. You can't squeeze that out of us. We show our love by paying the bills. People make time for what they see as priority. Can't argue with that. But the reality is that sometimes a man got to work. You got to look at the lifestyle. And sometimes it is advisable for a family to downsize the lifestyle so that they can have quality time together. And a lot of men are workaholics. Yes, we are, because we've not been taught better. We find our identity in what we do and how much we make, not understanding that our identity is in our legacy, and our legacy is at our house with our wife, with our wives and our children. Yeah. Yeah. So now, okay, y'all let me stay on point here. Man will make you feel, a person that doesn't, that is the right one will make you feel like number one. Number three, the right one will have the ability to make you laugh. The right one will have the ability to make you laugh. Can you imagine spending the rest of your life with a person that never makes you laugh and that never laughs? Can you imagine that? The right one will have the ability to make you laugh. And brothers, let me tell you something. There's nothing bigger in the life of a woman than a man than her man being able to make her laugh. If you can make your woman laugh, if you can make your wife laugh, wow, that's big. Laughter, a woman, being able to make a woman laugh sometimes is more attractive than anything relative to your physique. A woman is attracted to a man that will take the time to make her laugh. And a lot of times we miss it on that point, you know? A lot of times we miss it on that point. But you want to be with somebody that can make you laugh and someone that you can laugh with. It can't be all business. The relationship can't be all business. You got to be able to laugh, you know? Just the two of you. You got to be able to just laugh and find fun in one another, man. You know, just laugh. You know, I was just trying to get out to bed the other day, and man, my back, oh, Jesus, I had a pain that shot through my back, and my wife laying there laughing at me, looking like an old man trying to get out to bed. And I looked back and I laughed at her because I said, you got to get out next. To myself. And I know she got the same pains. So we find reasons to laugh. You need to have chemistry with somebody. You got to be able to laugh. How can you make it in this life without laughter? You got to be able to laugh. And you shouldn't have to turn the television or the radio on to laugh. That should be found within the constructs of your relationship. Ecclesiastes 3 and 4 says, I won't read the whole thing, but it talks about everything. In verse 1, it talks about everything. There's a season and a time. Now in verse 4, it says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The right one is a person that will have that kind of emotional balance that they can shift from business to spiritual to laughter to fun. Most of the relationship, once you all are on the, you know, you're on the same spiritual page, same spiritual frequency, most of the relationship should be geared towards keeping one another in a light and healthy place, laughter. Your relationship has to be filled with laughter. All right, watch this. Number 4. The right one will be generous in every way. They will be generous in every way. Hey, Pastor D, glad to see you. Glad to see you, sir. The right one will be generous in every way, financially, with their time, just being there to help. The right one will be generous in every way. No woman, now listen to what I'm saying. No woman should marry a man that is stingy with his money. If a man brings you on a date or brings you to dinner and that man allows you to pay for it, mm-mm. Now that may be old school to some of y'all, mm-mm. Or if he goes talking about, well, there's your bill, this is mine, mm-mm. You don't want that. I promise you, you don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want no man talking about, we going Dutch, half is yours, this half is mine. You know, even when y'all get married, if a man going to marry you, he needs to know what kind of bills you have because he's marrying you and your bills. Now, don't go out there and make no more, but he marrying you and your bills. If a man doesn't have a mind to take care of you financially, now he may not be there yet, but he has to have a mind to be there. You got to have generosity. There has to be, because relationships, especially marriages, work on the give and take system. See, I got to watch this. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here's Lisa and I. Again, this is one of the keys to our marriage. I firmly believe it. When my wife wakes up in the morning, she's trying to figure out, what do I need to do to empower my husband's life? What do I need to do to make my husband's life easier? What do I need to do to help my husband today? And I wake up trying to figure out, what can I do to help my wife today? What can I do to make my wife's load easier, lighter? And see, when both come to the relationship with a spirit of generosity, with a spirit to give, see, marriages work where two mature people understand that they are to enter into this covenant and empty out themselves, one into the other. If I give Lisa everything she needs, she has no needs. If she gives me everything I need, I have no needs. There you have a covenant that can stand, that does not have the cracks and the crevices that the enemy usually seeps in through. But when you have a person that shows you signs of selfishness, you know, at the most shallow end of the pool, why would you go into the deep end with them? If you're going out with a person for the first time, and if it's a man and he got you paying your own bill, if you're a brother and you say to a woman that you're seeing, and you're thinking about her as a potential, and you say, well, hey, you know, my car just broke down for some reason. Can you come pick me up and drop me off at the dealership or whatever? And she tell you about, she don't feel like it, I'm tired, and I ain't got time for all of this. You know she ain't the one. That is not the one. The one has a spirit of generosity. The one is going to give everything they have and more. Come on now. Relative to the man, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, I'm big on this with men especially, because a woman should never have a man that's not generous. And I'll put it to you this way. A man that won't go to work for you is not a generous man. He won't get a job. He's not a generous man. A man is just lying around, lounging around, and he ain't making no money. He'd see you got all these bills and you have all these needs, and he doesn't want to provide that for you. He's not a generous man. A generous man will work himself to the bone to make certain that he has everything necessary to provide for his woman. And he's certainly not going to sit there and let you go out and get two and three jobs while he working one or none. I can't see letting a lady pay for him. Mm-mm. Ain't no real man gonna do that. My son better not ever, ever, ever in his life go anywhere with a woman and I get wind that he let a woman pay his way. He better not ever. Don't go out if you ain't got no money. Talk on the phone, Skype. Do not go out if you don't have no money. Go borrow some money from your daddy, your friends, but pay for that woman. I ain't never let no woman pay for nothing. Never. Mm-mm. All right, here we go. The right one will allow you to be yourself. See, I don't have to come home and act for Lisa. I don't have to be, I don't have to wear a collar. I have to walk, sit around the house like I'm the bishop. Mm-mm. I can be me. When I come home, I can be me, belly and all. You hear what I'm saying? When I get home and it's just me and my wife, well, y'all fill in the blank. I can be me. I let my wife can be her. She can do her. She doesn't have to put on, you know, no certain kind of hat. She can be her. And my wife can be ghetto, you know. She was raised in Canada, born in Jamaica, raised in Canada, but she can be as ghetto as they come. I'm talking about ghetto. But she can be ghetto at home. She ain't got to worry about trying to be nothing but herself. Why would you go the distance with somebody that's always trying to make you something other than what you are? If you don't like me the way I am, see, you know, there's some things about me that's just not going to change, babe. And if you don't like me, if you don't like the constitution of who I am innately, keep it moving. You don't need to be with somebody that's always trying to change you, trying to change who you are fundamentally. They don't like the way you talk. They don't like the way you dress. Now, you know, sometimes we dress a little wild. We can use some improvements with that. And if our English is bad, you know, it's good for them to try to help correct us and all of that. But, you know, just everything. You mean tell me everything about me you want to change? Before you know it, they're going to be bringing you down to the plastic surgeon. They might break her nose and fix it this way. Yeah, pull our eyes till they go away. You don't want to be with nobody that is not going to accept you for who you are. You know? If you don't like a fat dude, don't come over here. Just stay on your side of the street. I'm cool. I'm good over here. Me and my ice cream cone. I'm good over here. You got to know that the right one is going to love you for who you are. Watch this. The good, the bad, and the ugly. My wife sees me has seen me at my weakest moments. She's seen me at my moments, man, when I felt like I couldn't make it. I couldn't take it anymore. I felt like quitting, crying like a little girl. A wife looking at me never lost respect for me. Allowed me to be me in those moments. Allowed me to have those moments. I've seen my wife in broken states. She's always been able to be who she is. She never had to put on an act to come home. But there are a lot of you all who are in relationships right now that you got to pretend to be something just to keep this person's interest. So you know you're ghetto, but you're trying to act bougie because you got a certain little woman or a certain kind of man that, you know, they sip their tea with their finger, you know, like that. And then I can't believe that you're eating with your salad fork. Babe, please. It's picking this meat up. Oh, Lord. I'm having too much fun here tonight. But you gotta be with somebody that allows you to be yourself. Genesis 2:24, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be, that's the wrong one. Yeah, they shall be one flesh. That's not the one I was looking for, though. I'm looking for the one where it says that they were both naked and not ashamed. They were both naked and not ashamed. Look, that's the verse where they were both naked and not ashamed. If you can't get naked in front of a person, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally. If you can't get naked, if you can't reveal the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and this person stick around, wow. All right. All right, here we go. The right one will be patient with you. The right one will be patient with you. And this leans more towards men, towards women. The right man will take his time. He will be patient with you. The right man is not trying to rush you into anything. The right man is not trying to persuade you to do something you're not ready to do. The right man is not trying to rush you into the bed to have sex. The right man is always patient with you. The right man always moves at your pace. And the right woman is patient with the development of the right man. Sometimes the man, now listen to this very carefully. Listen to this very carefully. Sometimes the man is like, it's like a Christmas toy that I used to buy for my children when they were kids. We buy these toys. And you see the image of this toy on the box. You got this big box. And, you know, foolishly thinking that it's just in the box like that. And you get it home and it says assembly required. All of the necessary parts are there. All of the value is there. All of the potential is there, but the purchaser has to be patient enough to put it all together. Sometimes the right man may not be fully assembled, and he just needs the right woman that knows how to put the pieces together. And a lot of women are missing a lot of great men because he's not assembled, he's not polished, you don't want him. And then you let him go, and another woman take that same little man that you called him dusty, and she puts him together and she polishes him, and then 3 years later you sitting there hating on the woman because you knew you see she has what you had, but she was patient enough to put it together. Now the parts got to be there. Everything got to be there. There's a reason God said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make you a helpmeet. What does that mean? The man becomes something greater when he finds the right woman to fit into his life. But the woman has to be wise enough to recognize if the man has all of the necessary parts, and then she has to be patient enough to help put them together. Now, if you got a man that don't want work, he ain't got no parts. You got a man that's just lazy and disrespectful, he ain't got no parts. But if you got a man that loves God, a working man, a man that has a vision, and just need somebody to help him put it together, my man, be patient with that process. Be patient with that process. Help that man. Be patient with that man. You take that man when you get through, my God. You'll be so proud of the man he becomes on your watch. But you got to be patient. The right man is patient with his woman. You can't be an impatient man. You can't love a woman if you're not patient. Women go through all kinds of different changes. Their minds switch, you know, like that. They have different things on their minds, and their bodies go through a whole lot of stuff. And a man has to be patient with a woman. You can't be an abrasive man. You got to be patient. Look what the Bible says in Colossians 3 and 19. Husbands, love your wives, and I think this is the Amplified Version, be affectionate and sympathetic with them. And do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. Be patient. And then watch this finally. The right one closes the deal. See, the right man, it's not going to take him years and years and years of dating. Now, if he's 20 years old, you know, y'all got time. Y'all young. You need to grow. You need to grow. But if you got a man that's 30 years old and he's talking about one of these days and y'all already been together for 2 years, you know, really a year. A man over 30 years old and you've been with this man a year and he does not know the value that you are. 50 years old? No, indeed. 50 year old man, you're supposed to give him about 3 months. He can't make up his mind. In 3 months, you need the right one closes the deal. And watch this. The sad thing is this. Sometimes I've found that there are men that want to be married and the women don't want to get married. And I know that's for a lot of different reasons sometimes. Sometimes I've discovered in counseling that it's because, you know, she's been hurt so many times, she's scared to really put herself out there and even have anticipation that something can really, you know, last. But sometimes it's the man that wants to be married, and it's the woman that doesn't want to be married. But the right one for you is going to want to close the deal. Genesis 2, 22 and 23 says, "In the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, brought unto the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me, out of man." He recognized who she was, and she became his wife. Because the right one has the same objectives as you. They want a relationship that is in divine order. They don't want a baby daddy. They don't want somebody to shack up with. They don't want a roommate. They don't want to be friends with benefits. They want a mate that they can live out the remainder of their days in the will of God.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.